In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When Canon found out that I was coming into town this weekend to do a baptism, which will be right after Mass, he said, well, could you possibly help us and do the Mass as well? I said, of course, Canon, I would love to. And he said, well, you don't have to preach on the gospel because during this entire Lenten season, we're talking about the sacraments. And he said, you can talk about the sacrament of baptism. And I said, okay, that's a very easy one. And it is, because we understand that great sacrament of baptism that Christ has given to his church has been known as the gateway to all the sacraments. Without that sacrament, no others occur. You can't have communion. You can receive a host, but are you really receiving communion if you're not baptized? No. You can't be confirmed in the Holy Spirit because you're not washed free from sin in that sacrament of baptism itself. All of the other sacraments have their foundation in that great gift of baptism. But we know through the many generations of the church, there have been mistakes. There have been errors. There are entire Protestant sects out there that reject baptism, even though Christ says clearly, go out and baptize to make disciples. They reject it. It can't be any clearer. We also know that there have been a multitude of errors around the sacrament of baptism itself. I want to tell you, a true story to give you the point. Many years ago, there was a cardinal, one of those guys that wears the red hats in the church. There was a cardinal, not in the United States, not in Europe. Okay. There was one who was coming up upon, I believe it was either receiving his red hat as a cardinal, or I believe that was, it might have been an anniversary. And they thought, this would be a great time to get together all of those people who sort of walked his sacramental journey with him. Okay. And so they found the priest that gave him First Communion. Of course, they knew the bishop that had ordained him. They went back, and they even found out that this great cardinal of the church was a very sickly little baby. And in fact, he was baptized in the hospital. Of course, we know that's possible, right? And so they went back and they found the woman, the nurse, who had done the baptism. And they said, oh, great, we've got all of his sacraments and the people that did those for him. And they were interviewing them for the little booklet they were putting together. And when they spoke to the nurse who did the baptism, she said, oh, yes, yes, yes. I remember him, very well. He has such wonderful parents. They were so nervous about their first child, and he was extremely sickly, and we didn't think he was going to make it. And so, of course, we as good nurses, I baptized him in the name of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Oops. You know what that means? He was never baptized. Therefore, he never received First Communion. He was never ordained. He was never ordained a bishop. All of the everything that he did had to be fixed because somebody botched it. And I don't think I need to tell you what the little problem was. Okay, there are two basic things you need for baptism. And everyone here, from youngest that could do it to oldest, needs to know these two things. Because any Christian, with any person, with the right intention, can validly baptize. I get that question quite a bit as the judicial vicar. You haven't seen me here for a while. Why? Because through the Franciscan Order and through a need in another diocese, I was, if you will, transferred down to a little diocese in Nevada called Las Vegas. And get that question down there a lot. What about all these other churches that are doing these baptisms, these other people, the individuals? I don't care. As long as they're intending what the church intends, okay, that not the entire understanding theologically of baptism, but the basics, that you're washing free from sin and you're bringing them into the family of Christ through this. As long as they got the basics of the intention, you got part of it. As long as they use water, real water, even an eyedropper. I've been in hospitals where the baby's so small, just an eyedropper, and the water, as long as it moves, that's a baptism. The water can be that little, because that's all you need. Just real water washing over a person. And the other part. The other part is what the nurse goofed on, right? She did Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, which is admirable, but not quite on the par. Church has said since day one, you follow the formula Christ has given to you. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it. You do that with water, correct intention, correct words, you've got a valid baptism. So every one of us should know that, because you never know when you will be called. Father's not available. It's an emergency. Somebody wants this. You think they've got a good intention, especially if it's an infant, working in hospitals, whatever. As long as you know those two parts, you're relatively assured you're going to do it right. You pour the water, usually over the head, okay, and you say those wonderful words of Christ. I baptize you. That's all you need. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's all you need for a valid baptism. Very, very simple. Sadly, not a lot of people hear that. I think hope we all have at one point or another, but we do need to remind ourselves of, A, that we can all do it. You don't have to call Father in an emergency. If you know the child's going to die, don't take care of it now. The spiritual good of that child is the prime importance of the church. Do it. If you mess up, Father will come, will fix it, but do it. Use the water, use the words. Why? Again, because we know from the very beginning of Christ's command to his church on what to do with baptism, he says, how do you make disciples? You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Teach them everything that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Those beautiful words that give us that promise of opening the gates of heaven to us through that washing away of sin, through that bringing us into the family of God, through our now sharing with one another, the church here on earth, the church triumphant, all of those who are shared, have shared in that great baptism of Christ. We are initiated into it through our own reception thereof. And so today, as we start pondering these great sacraments during the season of Lent, each and every one of them will point back to baptism. Each and every one of them will say, because you are baptized, because you are a child of Christ in the trueness of that understanding, you can now share at the altar. You can now share in reconciliation. You can now share in marriage, ordination, confirmation. You can share in all of those things because of baptism. And so today, let us thank the Lord for that great gift which we share in, and never take it for granted, to remind ourselves each time we come into the church, and not just simply doing a rote whatever, to remind ourselves, this is the water of baptism. This is the water in which I am washed clean and washed pure. This is the water, in one sense, that flowed from Christ's side, so that we can all share, not simply in the glories of heaven, but everything he has given to us, his passion, death, and his resurrection into glory.